people were treating us like two crazy guys from Spain that tried to change something in a country that loves meat, and they are wrong. And now we see in these supermarkets our product there, because people were asking, because at the end something very special happened. It's that people asked for the product in the places, so these places were pushed to put the product. It's crazy. I get very emotional when I think about that day that with Mark we were working in a library for free, because we did not have money to pay for an office. We just had this idea. And now we are in more than 3,000 points of sales, more than 10 countries. And what's coming is big, it's huge.
Hi, I'm Elizabeth Novogratz. This is Species Unite. We have a favor to ask. If you like today's episode and you have a spare minute, could you please rate and review Species Unite on Apple Podcasts or wherever you listen to podcasts? It really helps people to find the show. This conversation is with Bernat Ananos. He is co-founder of plant-based meat company Hira Foods. 4 years ago, Bernat and his co-founder, Mark Cologne, could not get their products into supermarkets. That is because they were selling them in meat-centric Spain. Today, Hira's products are offered at over 3,000 locations. They're Spain's fastest growing plant-based meat company and have already expanded into 10 other countries with the goal to disrupt the unsustainable food system. Hi, Bernat. Thank you so much for being on today. It is awesome to have you here.
No, thank you for giving us a voice.
I want to talk about like where you guys have come from 2017 until now, because it's been a massive growth with Hira Foods. But before we get there, I really want to know a little bit about you. How did this all start? Activism, veganism?
That's a big question, because I cannot answer just by myself. I also have to put Mark's story, which is the other co-founder, because it's very necessary to explain the whole story. First, I'll start with Mark. He started being vegan, I think, when he was 17. And he was very, like, an activist since he was, like, 15. He was always, like, making all these, like, demonstrations on high school and everything, trying to move forward social changes. And at some point, he became vegan and he saw all these inequality. The system was broken. And he started to be like record farms and record everything that was behind the walls of those farms. For many years, he was very involved in NGOs, different NGOs, and organizing big teams in Catalonia and then all the whole Spain to move forward this movement in the country. At some point, he realized that some people were getting conscious about the impact of what we eat. But then when they were going to a supermarket or restaurant, they were not finding products. This is like where we meet with Mark. And now I go to myself.
Okay, I love it.
Myself, I became vegan like almost 4 years and a half ago and vegetarian 7 years ago. But something that the whole life I've been bringing with me was being very sensitive to everything that's happening around me. I remember myself crying when Bush was like declaring war to Iraq or to Afghanistan. Like
me too.
I remember like being a kid and like crying for that and thinking like the world is wrong. What we are doing? Like how we can go there and kill people just because they are from that country? And so during my life, I'll always try to be part of something that has a positive impact in the things we care. That at the end, it's planet, animals, and people. And I started working and going to university and working more. And I saw that my time, that my effort, that my resources at the end were going to something that did not have an impact in those things. I was a bit like frustrated, not finding that thing to make like this change happen. And then it's where I met in a course in Tech Hub here in Barcelona. And he had this project, just an idea, like with a lot of thought behind, but it was an idea. He had this project and I liked more his project than mine. So I said, Mark, I'll try to help you with my time. then, all of a sudden, because I was helping him on marketing and communication, especially, and community building, he said, we are building it together. We are working together. You are not doing your project. You are doing mine. And I don't care if it's mine or not mine. If we are doing it together, it's from both of us. That's where we started. And we say, okay, so we started this together. And we've been 2 years before 2017, obviously product development, but also working on breaking all those barriers that are communication barriers, community barriers. And so then on April 2017, we finally launched the product.
When you first started talking about it, and when Mark was first doing it, it was definitely going to be food.
This is a very interesting point, because it was food at the beginning, but at some point we asked ourselves, okay, we have a mission, which is changing the food system because we don't like it. It's terrible what's behind. So is there a better way than doing plant-based meat to accelerate the shift? Because the shift is going to happen. So what can we do from us, like Mark and Bernard, what can we do to change it? And at some point we said, maybe it's not plant-based meat. Maybe it's an NGO or like a company that delivers like consciousness and information. At the end, we decided, okay, we don't have one product, because at the end we have, yeah, food tech innovation, but we have another product that we spend a lot of time and resources in our company, which is spreading consciousness. Because we think like with this community we have,
yeah,
we can like spread a lot of consciousness, and these people that are following this community want to be part of the change. So like, let's use this to be a change maker. Eura is a mission made company. And it came from getting more conscious about the impact we have, because we are very disconnected on what we eat. At the end, the mission is to accelerate the protein transition, because we need a transition. And it's sometimes like people treat me like, oh, this crazy guy is saying protein transition. But then I ask them, so could you imagine yourself going by horse to work? Like, can you imagine yourself like parking the horse in front of like your office? It doesn't make any sense. Like, we are using now, even we are using not cars, but electric cars. When we look at meat, when we look at protein, we are using the same technology as the ones that we're using the horse and the whale oil. So what we have
exactly.
to do is to start to move this like to the 21st century, because we are in like, I don't know where in history, but like very far behind. So I think this is at the end the mission, like to push this forward and to make this like animal seen as a machinery, like free. And so we can move to machinery, like technology that it's much more efficient. And it's like so much 21st century.
And cheaper and healthier. That's awesome. When you first envisioned this, was it going to be this global company or was it Spain?
We always dreamed to have a global impact, because we always say that from the Mediterranean, we have a lot to say in changing the food system. It's great that companies from Silicon Valley, London, Amsterdam, and like some Asian companies are leading the way. But we think that from the Mediterranean, a place that is full of food lovers, we have a lot to say in the future of food.
Before you guys, was there much happening in the plant-based space in the Mediterranean?
No, we still like very alone in the south of Europe, I have to say. But the demand is growing very fast, not just in Spain, but Portugal and Italy and France. Like all these countries are like seeing a huge growth on like demand, because the north of Europe was ahead of us, as most of the trends, they go ahead. And the UK, obviously, it's full of plant-based meat brands, and the Netherlands a lot. But no, in the south of Europe, we still don't have a lot of brands, producers, but the demand is huge. The change in Spain, like 4 years ago and now, it's crazy. When I go to a supermarket and I see so many options now, and we still not have enough, because it's always like sold out. So we have to bring more options, because people are demanding this option. It's so good to see. It brings me a lot of hope. Like, accelerating this change, because I think at the end it's just bringing great products, consciousness, again, the same, bringing products again, that it's not sold out, and again, consciousness, and then I think we will see a faster change that we expected, I would say.
Talk to me a little about the community and the expanding of consciousness. What were you guys envisioning for that? And how has that, like, where's it going right now?
We knew from the very beginning that we could not do it on our own, not even with a huge team of employees. We needed people behind, and people want to be part of changes. And so we envision a way of building community in a way that it's not talking to our ego, but like talking with like the things we think that can make a shift on people's mindset. Because at the end, it's like we are full of myths and misconceptions about plant-based diet and meat consumption. And we just need to bring this in a more rational way than emotional way, because people need to understand, because like people don't believe this, because like for many years what they received, it was the contrary. It came from their family and friends, and obviously you trust that. So what we need to do is to bring information, but in a nice way, in a community-based way, not pointing people like you are doing bad or you are wrong, but like this is the information, this is what Harvard is saying, this is what all the organizations worldwide are saying. We have to make it like understandable, because sometimes from, and I'm still seeing this from institutions or like big corporations, a lot of people tend to deliver information, but in a very institutional, formal, difficult to understand way,
yes,
which is not democratic. No. You have to bring information in an accessible way to everyone. This means using social media that goes to everyone. This also means using understandable language and words. Like, we need a change from everyone, not just from a few. So I think we put a lot of effort, and we are very sure that this is our way to do things. And sometimes people say, you spend too much energy and time and resources on bringing consciousness that also like helps Beyond to sell more. And I say, crazy happy that Beyond is selling more. If I can help Beyond to sell more, I'm very happy. I don't know if I can, but if I have this power, I'm amazed. Like, great, great news.
What's some of the response been like with the community?
It's crazy. And sometimes, because I became friends to a lot of people we are working with, because there are a lot of influencers and KOLs that are pushing this message. And thanks to them, we arrived to being the biggest food community, like brand food community in the south of Europe, much more than brands that spend a lot of millions in community building.
Right.
And we've done it with almost zero. And that's why we had a lot of influencers, KOLs, and people that care, and like individuals that wanted to be part of this, and they help and they give feedback. And I think it's great what we built, and it's awesome to be part of that and to be a piece in this puzzle. And now the challenge is how we bring this outside of Spain, and this is what we're trying to do now. I think it's going to work, because then there are millions of people worried and very conscious of we have to make a change. And what we want to build is consciousness, information, and people that want to be part of that. I think there are millions around, so hopefully we reach all these people and we can make change happen and push like corporations, institutions, which is something I'm pushing a lot like lately, because I think institutions have a lot to say and they're not saying anything.
How much are you speaking with or reaching out to non-vegans and non-plant-based, like people who are more vegan interested or eating less meat?
When we look at data, we see that most of our consumers are not vegan anymore. At the beginning, they were vegan because we were selling in vegan shops, so easy. Yeah, most of you of your consumers are vegan. But now we are in big supermarkets and big restaurant chains, and we know that the minority of the consumption is from vegans. Plus, we've done a survey 2 weeks ago asking people for feedback and how we can improve the way we communicate and how we can reach more people. And the vegans were like less than 30%. I think this is a very great news, because this means like more than 70% of the people that are behind this, or even more, are non-vegans that follow a consciousness vegan like platform that is delivering very clear messages about what meat does to your body, to the world, and to the animals, and what plant-based can do.
It's way better. And it's, I mean, because you don't really need to talk to the vegans since they already yeah. know, right? Go back to when you launched. You launched in April 2017. And so yeah. And how big were you when you launched? Did you have any idea of anything that was coming?
No, it's crazy. And like 3 or 4 months ago, we've done a post on Instagram where we put like some of the answers we were receiving from supermarket buyers and restaurant buyers. People were treating us like two crazy guys from Spain that try to change something in a country that loves meat, and yeah. they are wrong. And now we see in these supermarkets, our product there, because people were asking, because at the end, something very special happened with Eura in Spain. It's that people asked for the product in the places. So these places were pushed to put the product. It's crazy. I get very emotional when I think about that day that with Mark, we were working in a library for free because we did not have money to pay for an office. We just had this idea with this first prototype of product. Let's try to sell it in a few shops and let's see the feedback. And now we are in more than 3,000 points of sales, more than 10 countries. And what's coming is big, it's huge. And the good thing is we are not alone. There are many companies doing the same in different places of the world. So I think the trend is going to change so much faster than what we were thinking 5 years ago.
It sounds like across the world, demand is bigger than supply right now with plant-based.
Yes.
Everything.
Definitely, yes.
What was your first product?
We started with chicken because at the end we cared a lot about the lives behind, and there are far more chickens than any other animal. There are almost 70 billion chickens every year behind the scenes of the humans eating. And we were like, there are many people doing burgers, so let's try to do chicken, which is also like a product that in Spain is very like, we use it for a lot of dishes. So we thought like, okay, it's a way to get very local, to make all Spaniards fall in love with this product. They can see that it's very easy to cook. They taste like chicken. Texture is alike. And now we have obviously other products.
What have you expanded into?
And now we have beef-alike products. So we have a burger, which is super crazy in terms of nutritionals, because we want to make daily basis food. Like, people are not scared of eating every day. Like, people that like think, look at that and they say, okay, another barrier broken, because like this barrier of like plant-based is not healthy. And also meatballs. And now we are working on the first pork-alike products.
I was reading that your products are healthier than many plant-based products out there.
It's our way to do things. Like, I would never criticize any plant-based ally, no. because for me, there are no competitors. But we put a lot of the Mediterranean values in our products. So, for example, we've been a year developing a fat analog made out of extra virgin olive oil, which is unique in the world at the moment, because extra virgin olive oil is liquid. So you cannot use it as coconut oil, for example. So what we achieved after a year, almost a year, in R&D is to get the best things of coconut oil, which is dense, but made out of extra virgin olive oil. This allows us to have this crazy good nutritional profile, because like it's 1% of saturated fat, just 1% in a burger, which is like much better than animal meat for sure.
What are your products made of?
Soy and pea. Uh-huh. Like the beef-alike products at the moment, they are pea protein, and the soy goes to chicken.
During lockdown, you have grown 400-500%.
Growth in supermarket was big, but 43% at the moment in March was coming from restaurants, because we have a lot of restaurants in Spain are working with Eura and delivering great options in Asian and like sandwich and all these kind of restaurants. They are delivering great plant-based options with Eura. And obviously that business like went to almost zero, because like lockdown in Spain yeah. was like huge and we were all at home. So, so yeah, we grew a lot on supermarkets, but like we went to zero in restaurants, and we were trying to like try to be part of the solution to restaurants, because it was a hard time for them.
What countries have you expanded into already?
We are obviously in Spain. We are in Andorra. That sometimes like people don't mention these like very small countries, but it's in between France and Spain. We are in Portugal. We are in the Netherlands. We started in the UK a few months ago. We are in Singapore and Hong Kong. And now we are almost starting in France and Italy. These are very like food lovers country as well, like with a very like sense of their gastronomy. I understand why, but like now we have to find the way of saying you can continue doing your favorite recipes, but plant-based. And also Chile. Chile, we are also in Chile.
I don't know if it's on your website, but somewhere it says that Hera is not a meat substitute, but it's a successor. Will you talk about that?
Yes. We say that because a lot of, like, in a lot of interviews at the beginning, they were saying, oh, you are this substitute for chicken. And we were like, no, we didn't came here to be a substitute for vegans, for chicken, because vegans are already vegans. Like, we create this product. So all these people that love chicken, but also love the planet and the animals, can align their values with the consumption habits. That's why we do this. And that's why we do it nutritionally, like, very good, much better than animal meat. So in terms of sustainability, it's going to be always better. And in terms of taste, trying to replicate, and even we can make it better maybe in the future, like, than chicken, because you can make it more juicy, maybe. I don't know, like, adjust it to different, like, cultures and tastes. I think we can make it better than using an animal as a machine. With all these into the equation, we think we're building successes, not substitutives for some people. Because if we can make a product like with the same experience, but better in terms of sustainability, obviously animal rights and health, this shouldn't be a substitute. It should be a successor, like, for everyone. And this implies that we have to make a lot of effort on making it accessible and democratic in terms of cost and price. We don't want to be a product for some people, just for some neighborhoods. We want to be a product that enters in all neighborhoods.
Has cost come down since you started?
Yeah. No, we've done like big steps there. Still, like, to control all the supply chain and make like adjustments in all these like very small parts of the supply chain and the process takes time. And sometimes when you make a change here, until it has an effect to the very end, it's not like in an instant, but like we are making efforts there. And yeah, like we've seen like a reduction of price to consumers, which is the most important.
Spain, I mean, it's a real meat heavy country, right? Like, was there a lot of resistance in the beginning?
I was expecting more. I have to say that at the end, I had the chance to speak with a lot of buyers, the meat eaters. And when you start to show that even with this product in the future, it can have better margins, so better economy and better business. I think like people start to say, hey, these people don't come here to destroy me. They come to like to bring new products that they say in the future will bring more business. I think this has been a very interesting side of like having the chance to be in this sales process. And in terms of general population, like, obviously there are haters are going to hate everywhere in the world, but like I know many meat eaters that love Eura and introduced Eura in their diets. They are making a New Year's resolution of even like reducing more the animal meat. People that I would never thought about, they were going to do this in 2021. I was expecting 2050, so much earlier than expected. Yeah. I'm happy about that. So I'm seeing like a huge change. And the good thing is that it's not just in Barcelona and Madrid. It's also happening in villages and small cities. I can talk about my grandma, for example. She does not even eat meat now anymore. And she is using Facebook to introduce Eura to their like 80 years old friends on Facebook. And it's crazy. Like, I know she does it because she loves me a bit, and she also promotes Eura, but like seeing these and the response of these 80-year-old friends of my grandma, like it's great. It's something is changing, and I think we are in the right path of like, yeah, we were and we still a meat lover country, but maybe we can put a plant in the very beginning, so it's a plant-based meat lover country. in very few years.
That story about your grandmother is amazing.
Oh, yeah, my grandma, honestly, you could interview her. She is so much fun.
I would love it. And so have some of her friends started to switch a little bit?
Oh, yeah. Like, the fact, and here is one of the barriers we still have, is that my grandma, she lives in a very small village, and Eure is not yet there. So she's all the time complaining and trying to tag the small supermarkets in her village, which she's not tagging because it's difficult to tag sometimes from the phone. And yes. She says, yeah, you supermarket from this village, you have to put Eure because I have to go to this other village to buy it, and my friends as well. We are all asking for this. And it's like so fun.
What a great marketer. But that's true because you hear a lot about younger people just because they're aware, they've been on social media their whole lives. And they've seen the damage that has been put on to them from the meat industry. They get it. But I love hearing stories about anyone in their 80s.
She knows it. And what you said, it's so true. Like, when I look at my little cousin, she's 9, and she's so much more connected to the impact we have in the world. She knows. And when she eats meat, she knows that she's eating a piece of an animal. And she's very aware. And I wasn't. Right. And I think this is a big step.
Yeah.
Because to know what you're eating and the impact and what's behind, it's so much the first step to connect all the dots and so change the way we consume things. A year ago, when COVID was not here yet, I was giving a class in University of Barcelona, and I had this Gen Z class in front of me, 100 people. And I asked, how many of you are reducing the amount of meat or are already vegetarian or vegan? And almost 60%. I was almost crying there, guys, can you be a picture for society?
I think a lot of vegans or people who've been in this space for a long time, we do see that the future is probably, hopefully, going to be plant-based at some point and cell-based. But do you think it's faster than, it feels like it's going to be faster than everyone's been saying when you talk to people like you?
Definitely. I'm so hopeful with this. At the very beginning, 4 years ago, I would say, no, it's going to take forever. Let's see. But now seeing the reactions, and I think we just have from the industry, the plant-based industry, we have the challenge, two challenges, delivering great products. And this means good nutrition, good flavor, good texture and everything, and then delivering good price. And I think when this is democratic, a good product is democratic. Plus, obviously animal meat, traditional meat has to be more expensive than it is now. Does not make any sense, €3 kilo for a chicken. What is this? This system is broken. How this can cost this price? And that's because European Union, in our case, is putting a lot of money here to democratize these products because they say it's a need for people to eat this. So what we have to do is to start to invest this money in plant-based, health-based. Animal meat starts to be more expensive. And then the pricing for Eura Beyond and all the other brands in the world doing this are starting to be less and less and less. And I think when this happens, shift is just going to happen.
What do you guys have coming up?
The most exciting thing for me is that we are going to double the employees. So from 37, we will reach more than 80, more than double.
How many did you start with in the beginning?
Two, Mark and we have to be more than 80 at the end of this year because we want to do a lot of things. We always say we will try hard. And if it doesn't work, it doesn't work, but we will try the hardest we can. So I would say doubling the team, it's big news because this means 40 more people working on accelerating the protein transition. And I think these are great news for the whole movement. Then new products, we'll bring sausages, nuggets that I think when I saw the nutritional of the nuggets, I was like, guys, why did you put so much effort on trying to make it healthy? How can a nugget be healthy? But they made it. They deliver a great nugget, which is healthy at the same time. And the big challenge is to build communities outside of Spain. So in the main markets we want to be, but also creating a platform that just not deliver messages to the markets that we are in, but also like someone from New Zealand, Bali, or California, they can follow us because they like the way we deliver the information and they want to be part of this information and they want to spread it, even though if they cannot try the product.
I really want to try your product because, and once travel can happen again, I will. Because
yes,
all I have read reading about you guys is that your food is so incredibly good, like ridiculously good.
Oh, God.
Everybody's like, no, I've never tasted plant-based chicken like this. And also about the community, how do people get involved?
We are working on a new website that has a platform on like to be more part of it, because something that we sensed when we ask people is like, what can we do more? We are trying to build a platform that allows people to not just be part in the EURA initiatives, but also in other initiatives. I would like to see a platform that also like can announce a movement for another plant-based meat company or like another alliance wherever in the world, and people can be part of that, or like sign a petition for New Zealand, or I don't care which country, because we have to unite ourselves, because meat industry is very united. They know how much power they have together. So what we have to do is from the plant-based meat sector is to unite efforts and forces and to go all together in the same direction.
I think whether it's in the plant-based space or even the animal rights side of things, the more everyone needs to align and support one another and get behind each other, because it's everyone's in the same movement and it all just pushes everything faster and bigger and creates a lot more change. Are you still doing activism outside of this? Is that still part of your life?
From EURA, we help a lot of activist movements like sanctuaries and a lot of like projects and proposals that are being like around. Like, now, I am not, but something that we were speaking with Mark, like I want to be less of a workaholic. I would like to have the time, but not just for me or Mark, but the whole team to like spend a few hours like as the people can take part on different issues inside the movement. Because obviously now we are very in the business side.
Yes.
Even though if we do things a lot as an NGO sometimes, to see other problems and other projects and how things are done and learn from that, and we can give some like knowledge to those projects. So yeah, hopefully in this year I can be part of at least certain projects. Hopefully.
And
everything is better. Like it's a win-win for like every single person in the world, every single animal, and the planet itself. Sometimes, like I feel that vegans, we feel that people have to make the transition in the way we've done it, with the same efforts we've done it. Why people have to do it in your way? Can we do it in a better way? Can we move it faster? Why we feel that people have to make the effort you made, because they might not want to make this effort, but if we put something different, like it accelerates. And this is, I think it has to be positive news. We are 1% of the population.
Right.
So how can we move this 1 to 100 in very little time?
We really want more people to even go partially vegan, because if more people are partially vegan, that's a lot better than like another 1%.
Yeah. And to a lot of people to like, my friends and like people I meet, they are not completely vegans, and sometimes they feel when they share their status on like transition, they feel like I'm gonna like say, oh, you're doing wrong, and I say congrats, like it's so good, you changed so much the past year, like I'm so happy. Like we have to embrace the change and not just like trying to be like professors examining people and saying, oh, you are not 10 out of 10, you are 9, and this is wrong.
Right. It doesn't help the movement, it doesn't help the progress, and it doesn't help the person doing it. It just turns them away from it.
Hopefully we are part of that as EURA. Now, I'm so happy like to see so many people. Like lately I'm following a lot of English accounts as well, and from the US, and seeing all these people like working on that, and it's so great.
So many people I know now who aren't fully vegan, but are eating more and more that way, would not have looked at this 5 years ago. It's a miracle.
So it's crazy.
To criticize them would be absolutely ridiculous.
Last year, the Christmas with my family, we were like normally like 17, 18 on the table. it was 90% vegan, the table, even though we're vegans, we are like just two vegans and two vegetarians. And chicken was left. No one was eating the chicken. Everyone was eating era and all the other dishes that my grandma prepared with plant-based meat. And this year had to be a fully vegan lunch, but it wasn't because of coronavirus, but it had to be in my family 5 years ago, like doing a Christmas fully vegan, like did not make any sense. Everyone would say, are you crazy?
Bernard, thank you so much. Thank you for everything that you guys are doing on the planet and changing.
Thank you to be part of that and especially to give us voice.
Thanks again.
Thank you very much.
To learn more about Bernat and about Hira Foods, go to our website. It's speciesunite.com. We will have links to everything. We are on Facebook and Instagram at Species Unite. If you have a spare minute and could do us a favor, please rate, review, and subscribe to Species Unite on Apple Podcasts or wherever you listen to podcasts. It really helps people find the show. If you'd like to support the podcast, we'd greatly appreciate it. We are on Patreon. It's patreon.com/speciesunite. I would like to thank everyone at Species Unite, including Gary Knutson, Natalie Martin, Caitlin Pierce, Amy Jones, Paul Healy, Santina Polke, and Anna Kollner, who wrote and performed today's music. Thanks again and have a wonderful day.